Welcome to the deep dive. We take focused market intelligence, break it down,
and give you the critical insights.
Exactly. Helping you stay ahead. Okay, so let's get into it. Today, we're looking really closely at just one specific sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's been floating around in financial analysis, and it pretty much captures the entire dilemma facing the commercial property sector right now.
Yeah, that huge part of the economy, offices, warehouses, shopping centers, you name it.
And it's a really neat piece of intelligence, isn't it?
It really is. It distills this complex link between, you know, actual buildings and, well, macroeconomic expectations.
So our mission today is basically to unpack that single statement, word by word.
Precisely. Deconstruct it.
All right. So the core insight, the sentence we're drilling down on, is this. Commercial property sector awaits benefits from anticipated lower interest rates.
That's the one.
And it feels like that sentence just tells the whole story of investment decisions in commercial real estate at this very moment.
It really does. And you should definitely care about this because commercial property, it's not just visible everywhere.
Right.
It's also one of the most heavily indebted asset classes out there globally.
Ah, okay.
So understanding this one pressure point, this tension between, let's say, current sluggishness and future hope, it gives you a vital snapshot of broader economic health.
Got it. So we're going to analyze the current state of play. We'll focus on what, three keywords?
Yep. Awaits, anticipated, and benefits.
What they really mean, why they're so important right now.
And crucially, what happens if the timing everyone expects changes?
Okay, let's start with the status quo. That first keyword, awaits. The sector isn't getting the benefits now.
No, it's waiting.
It's waiting for them. So what does that immediately signal about the current environment?
Well, awaits implies this kind of holding pattern, doesn't it? A state where activity, transaction volume, it's all suppressed.
Like hitting pause.
Exactly. Think of it like a train just idling at the station. Engines are running. It's ready to move. The signal's red.
Okay.
The sector is basically positioned to react to future conditions, not really driving forward with, say, new developments or big acquisitions right now.
And why is it stuck? Why the paralysis? Does it just boil down to the cost of borrowing?
That suggests, yeah, that the current cost of capital is fundamentally, well, unworkable for a lot of new deals. That's the heart of it.
Right.
When we talk commercial property, the key equation is always that relationship between the yield the property generates, the cap rate, and how much it costs to borrow the money to buy it. So if a building makes, say, 5% net income relative to its price,
okay,
but the loan costs you 6.5%, that's negative leverage. It doesn't work.
The current rates are just too high for deals to make sense.
For robust activity, yes. The debt part of the equation is just punitive right now.
Yeah.
Developers, they can't get construction loans to pencil out.
Right. The math doesn't work.
Exactly. And big institutional buyers, they can't really justify buying something where they pay more in interest than they're earning in rent.
So they wait.
They sit still and wait.
Yeah. But hang on. If the whole market is just waiting, why haven't we seen like a huge wave of defaults already? No. Isn't that the other side of this holding pattern?
That's where it gets a bit more nuanced. This awaiting status, it's kind of created two different markets, you could say.
Okay.
For the really good stuff, the Class A properties, well leased, maybe with low debt already, their owners can afford to wait. They're patient.
Right.
But for assets that are highly leveraged, especially those tied to floating rate loans, think about some office spaces in certain areas.
Yeah, tricky.
The distress there is often just delayed. It's masked by things like short-term loan extensions or forbearance deals, kicking the can down the road, basically.
Okay, so the implication for you as someone watching this is that the risk profile right now is defined by this delay.
Precisely. It means the true clearing price, what buyers and sellers would actually agree on if forced, is kind of hidden.
Obscured.
Yeah. Investors hoping for a lower cost basis, right? But that really only gets unlocked if money gets cheaper.
So the stagnation is like a temporary standoff.
That's a good way to put it. It's an equilibrium, but maybe not a stable one. Nobody wants to sell at today's potentially lower prices, and nobody really wants to buy with today's high financing costs.
And the whole stalemate revolves around the price of debt.
Exactly.
Okay, that sets us up perfectly for the next keyword. We've established the sector is kind of stuck waiting, defined by awaits.
Mm-hmm.
So let's shift to the engine everyone's watching, the main catalyst, anticipated lower interest rates.
And we really have to stress that word, anticipated.
Right. Not a done deal.
Not at all. It's a forecast, or maybe more accurately, it's a strong market expectation about what central banks will do next.
So the market is pricing in the future now, not the present.
Absolutely. And that distinction, anticipation versus certainty, it's critical for commercial property. These are long-term investments, right? Multi-year, often decades. If you're buying a building today and taking out, say, a 7-year loan, you're already thinking hard about what the refinancing environment will look like in, 3, 5, 7 years.
And the general feeling, the consensus right now, seems pretty strong that central banks have done enough on inflation.
That's the bet.
And the next move, the famous pivot, will be rate cuts. Maybe modest, but cuts nonetheless.
Right. And that belief provides the sort of psychological underpinning for current valuations, even if activity is slow. Now, connecting this to the bigger picture, commercial property is super sensitive to this expectation, partly because of the looming refinancing wall.
Yes, we hear a lot about that.
There's just a massive amount of commercial debt that was taken out or refinanced back when rates were super low, like 2018 to 2022. And a lot of it is coming due in the next 2 or 3 years.
So the anticipation matters hugely for those loans.
Hugely. If the anticipation holds true, if rates do drop significantly before, say, 2026, then many owners might be able to refinance okay and avoid real distress.
But if not,
But if that anticipation shifts,
huh?
let's say inflation stays sticky and the Fed or other central banks have to keep rates higher for longer,
Then that wall becomes a real problem.
it becomes a potential financial crisis for a lot of owners who are heavily leveraged.
So it feels like the sector's performance is driven less by, say, current fundamentals, like are people actually leasing those offices today?
Yeah, less about that.
And more by the market's collective bet on future central bank moves.
That's a fair assessment for the current dynamic.
Which naturally leads to the big question: what's the breaking point if that anticipation, that belief, suddenly shifts, or even just gets pushed out further?
Well, if that expectation gets postponed significantly, or worse, canceled, then that holding pattern, the awaiting part we talked about, it could transform pretty quickly into a hard, immediate drop in valuations. Think about an investor who bought a building assuming they could refinance at, say, 5% in 2 years. If they suddenly find themselves facing an 8% rate instead, their equity could just evaporate. Poof.
Wiped out. And then the lender steps in.
Then the lender has to take action. Exactly. It highlights how much is built on, well, maybe speculative fuel right now, driven by forward guidance and Fed projections.
Okay, let's move to the payoff then. The benefits the sector is supposedly waiting for. We can probably guess what these are just by knowing what lower rates fix.
Absolutely. The benefit is fundamentally about improving financial viability right across the board.
How does that actually work?
Well, you can break it down into two main things. First, obviously, the cost of capital drops.
Cheaper loans.
Cheaper loans. So investment projects that just didn't pencil out when debt costs 6% suddenly look profitable if debt costs, say, 4.5%.
So that could unlock new construction, more deals.
Potentially, yes. New construction starts might pick up, transaction volumes should increase because deals become viable again.
Okay, that's one benefit. What's the second?
The second ties directly back to the value of the properties themselves.
Right, the asset valuation. How?
It comes down to metrics like the debt service coverage ratio, the DSCR.
Okay, explain that simply.
It's basically the ratio banks use to see if the income a property generates can comfortably cover the loan payments.
Makes sense.
If interest rates fall, the debt service, the loan payment shrinks. That means the property's net income can cover those lower payments more easily. The DSCR improves.
A better DSCR means.
It allows lenders to feel comfortable lending a larger amount against that same income stream, which in turn supports a higher purchase price for the seller. The asset itself becomes more valuable.
Interesting. So even if the rents haven't changed much,
Correct.
the value of that income stream goes up purely because less of it is being eaten by the bank through interest payments.
You got it. It's like the tide lifting all boats, or at least all commercial property ships.
And it's generalized, you said.
Yeah. What's interesting is that this benefit isn't just for like warehouses or apartments. Offices, logistics, multifamily, they all benefit fundamentally from cheaper debt.
So it suggests a broad systemic relief, not just isolated pockets.
Exactly. It would likely unlock liquidity and activity pretty much everywhere, assuming rate cuts happen.
Is there a confidence element too?
Oh, absolutely. You could argue there's an implied benefit for just institutional stability. When rates are high and uncertain, you get this huge gap between what buyers are willing to pay and what sellers are willing to accept.
the standoff we mentioned.
Right. Market freezes up, potential for distressed sales increases. Lower, more stable rates narrow that gap. It brings buyers and sellers closer together, creates more market clarity.
And restores investor confidence.
Precisely. The benefit is as much about psychology and confidence as it is about the raw numbers on interest payments.
Okay. So pulling this together, what does it all mean for you watching the market? It seems the health of commercial property is tied very directly, not just to money, but to the hope of cheaper money soon.
That's the key takeaway. It clearly shows the sector is currently constrained primarily by financial costs, by interest rates, not necessarily by a complete collapse in demand for the actual physical space. There are issues there too, especially in office, but the big governor right now.
It's a financing problem.
It's largely a financing problem, yes. Waiting for a financing solution.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
We took that single sentence.
That snapshot.
And we identified this critical interplay, right? The market paralysis, the awaiting, driven by the hope of anticipated rate cuts.
The key market driver right now.
Leading to the desired financial boost, the benefits.
Yeah, the connection is clear. And the essential point for you to remember is that in this specific sector, the future is currently being valued much higher than the present. Investors are making pretty significant bets with their capital based on when they think central banks will act.
So watch the forecasts more than the current reality.
For now, yes. Pay maybe a bit less attention to today's rental figures and more attention to market projections, Fed speak, forward guidance on monetary policy, because that is the engine driving commercial property sentiment and potential activity right now.
Right. Okay, so here's our final provocative thought for you to mull over. If the stability, maybe even the prosperity of the commercial property sector is so heavily built on this anticipation of lower rates, what happens if that timeline stretches out? A lot, say another 2-3 years. Or what if those anticipated rate cuts just don't really materialize? Maybe geopolitics, maybe sticky wage growth keeps inflation just high enough.
That's the scenario where anticipation risks turning into, well, denial.
Yeah.
And then you really have to assess the strength of that refinancing wall we talked about against the hard reality of prolonged higher rates.
And that question.
That question basically determines whether the current stagnation eventually resolves into growth or if it spirals into something much worse, like forced liquidations, a big unknown.
A really critical thought for anyone looking at market risk today. Thanks for diving deep with us.
Good discussion.
We'll catch you next time.